Economic development.
Okay, I would like to call Commerce back to order after a brief recess to, before we recessed, we had, we were discussing the motion to amend. And at that time, Congressman Shaw made a motion to, you were moving to postpone. If you were moving to postpone, that would outrank the other motion and that could be considered. However, we already voted on this earlier to move these items on the agenda and it was a unanimous vote. Therefore, your motion is to reconsider, and the only time that you can move to reconsider is if you voted against that motion. However, you voted yes.
Madam Speaker, I'll withdraw.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we are still in discussion of the Congresswoman, or excuse me, Whitmore.
Is it the amendment to the amendment that we're discussing, or do we vote on? Okay, so we're back to the main.
So we are back to the main and
amendment has been amended. Okay. I just have one thing to say. What I've presented here is this cleanup in language. Even the assistant chief who wrote the bill reviewed some of that language that I was striking on line 59, and he says, yeah, that needed to be stricken. So those amendments are all cleanup in language and does not substantially change the bill. So I urge you guys to vote on the amendment.
Okay. Any more discussion? Congressman Maker.
I just have a comment. I appreciate all your work and dedication to duties. My thought is that we've spent a lot of hours working with the election board on these rules. And I just think it would be out of courtesy to notify them of some of these changes. That was all my point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any more discussion? Congresswoman Buffalo.
I agree. We put in a lot of work with the election board. These amendments that we are considering right now, I'm going to support because I do believe it is cleanup language. There are some other amendments that are going to be proposed that I may not support, but for these that we have in front of us right now, I will be supporting it.
Okay. Thank you. There's no more discussion. We are voting on the seven amendments collectively as one amendment. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the amendment passes. The next amendment, we have 4, 6, 8, and 11 who were excluded from that being voted on in one motion. So amendment number 4, or amendment 2, but the number page says number 4 on it. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
This is an amendment to the definitions section of the bill. It's on the definition of special election. It currently reads, special election means an election held specifically to consider rejection of a referred act of Congress to consider the initiation of a law brought forward by initiative petition to consider recall of an elected official to fill a vacant office, to consider a general referendum called by the proclamation of the principal chief and approved by Congress in session, or for any other purpose provided by Osage law and not in conflict with the Constitution. Special election does not mean Minerals Council election. This amendment will strike the word, am I in the right place? Will strike the word general. There's nothing designating a general referendum. Maybe it would be a referendum in a general election, but there's not a general referendum. So that word needs to be stricken. And then after the word referendum, strike called by the proclamation of the principal chief and approved by Congress in session. That language, Trey and I both have researched out. There is nowhere in Osage law nor within this election code or constitutionally that gives the chief the ability to call by proclamation a general referendum or a referendum vote. There's nowhere constitutionally that can happen. And he's reviewed the whole election code, and there's nowhere in the election code that is allowed. So the reason I had this pulled out is for discussion to this amendment. I think it needs to happen because I don't even understand why it's in that definition. So that being said, I would urge a yes vote for this amendment.
Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, the amendment number 2, which says page 4, passes. Amendment number 3, which says number 6 on it.
Yes, amendment number 3, it strikes the subsection B to section 1.3 in its entirety. That is new language that was requested to be added in. I think it's extra language. I think that the section below C already covers the idea of what section B just to me seems to reiterate. And what it is it's striking the language that says B. Like I said, this is just inserted into the code. B, contingency funding. The Congress shall be required to appropriate adequate contingency funding in the event of unforeseen occurrences that would impact the ability to conduct an election. Below that, in C, that idea and that concept is already within the law. It says legal remedy for failure to fund. Should the Osage Nation Congress fail to adequately fund the board, or should the principal chief strike funding necessary to conduct election duties, the board may seek legal remedy in the Osage courts to force adequate funding of elections. I think we all know that the Constitution mandates us to have elections. I don't think this is a problem. I think the language is already in the bill that covers those issues. And so, therefore, I think that the contingency funding new clause that they put in there is unnecessary language. So I urge a support to amend this law in that place.
If Congressman Shaw.
I support that amendment, but as I hear just a little bit of snide commentary, I apologize that I do believe these amendments are beyond minor cleanup, but I do think this is a substantial and important amendment, and I support it.
Congressman Walker.
Well, I don't feel strongly really one way or the other on this, but I'm going to vote no on that. I mean, just basically saying that the Congress shall fund the election, I don't really have a problem with that. And, you know, to say that the provision, the safeguard is already in there that the board could take us to court or seek a legal remedy, just as far as I'm concerned, we just shall support the funding.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, and then Buffalo Head.
Well, I just wanted to respond to my colleague, Congressman Shaw. That's why I amended the motion to combine, because the ones that we did in a group of 7, I represented those as cleanup language.
I understand.
And that's why I pulled these out,
okay,
because I thought they needed their own consideration. So
gotcha. Thank you.
By doing so, I hoped that people would understand what my amendment did.
Congresswoman Buffalo.
I'll be a no vote on this one. And the election board met for a long time. They felt like it needed to be in there. So I'll be voting no for this one.
Any more discussion? Roll roll call, please.
Congressman Hamilton?
No.
Congressman Baker?
No.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supermont?
Yeah.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes.
Just had a 5-5 tie.
Okay. The motion passes, or the amendment? Okay, amendment number 4, which says number 8 on the page.
This is the last amendment that I proposed. In reviewing the committee version, I see that they had cut this language out about it's under the privacy program and how Osage voters can go to the election office to get the to get information of the voter registry list. The bill as it stands does not have this language in there. It was in the old bill. I think that if they were planning on moving this to policy, I don't think that policy is visible enough to the Osage voters, the Osage members that can vote, the registry. I think that this needs to be a point in law to reinsert that requests may include sublists of the names and addresses of those who voted in particular election or the names of the living, names of those living in particular region. I think it's important for the voters to know that that list is available to them and how they can get that. And then also the number 3 that I'm requesting be reinserted is the digital medium shall be in a format or formats commonly used in commerce. I think it's important to have that in there too, because if you want to work on that registry and be able to manipulate it, it needs to be in Excel. It doesn't need to be a flat PDF document that you can't utilize. I think it's important that this body have that in the law for our voters or the people that are interested in getting that voter registry can work with it and it not be something that's buried in policy. So I hope I urge support for this amendment.
Congresswoman Edwards?
And I would add that, you know, when people have forums, et cetera, in different places, it does make it a lot easier for them if they know that they can go and get those lists and mail out to the people in their area. So I think it is important that we have it in our law.
Thank you, Congressman Maker.
Well, I think, is there a privacy act in this at all, anywhere? You know, some people may not want the information out to everyone.
This is under the privacy program section, and yes, there is one. But this portion speaks specifically to the list. Those people that were in the privacy program, they wouldn't be on the list, and that's what the law says. But this is just talking about access to the list that has the public names of the people that want to be on it that aren't part of the privacy program.
So they can't have the list that you can move around by state or by zip code. They're not able to have that list. The list we get when you run for office, you can pull through there and pick out by state, by zip code.
Right, and that was in the existing code, but these amendments that they've sent over to us no longer has the language in there to be able to get those lists. I believe they said that they were going to put that in policy. I believe it needs to be in the law so we can get those lists and the people that are eligible can get the list of the voters that want to be on the list. So it's all a part of the privacy program. Everything's intact. All this amendment does is make it be available to people that want to go get the list by law. Otherwise, it's not going to be in the law if it's not amended back in.
Congressman Baker?
So is this only open to tribal members or just everybody?
Eligible voters, and so yes, that would be a tribal member. That's who that's available to. So somebody that's, in my opinion, the way I read the law, a non-Osage cannot come and get that list.
Thank you. There's no more discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no.
No.
One no from Congressman Walker. Amendment number 4 passes. Amendment number 5, which has number 11 on the page. And is there any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
That's my amendment. In 2006, when this government was first formed and we had our first inauguration, it was held on Saturday. And it was held up on the campus, and there was a tent, and there was an opportunity to spend the day up on campus and have your families and your friends come up and engage in Osage activities. Since that time, we, the Congress, wrote a law and changed it. And the unintended consequence of that, and I think Congressman Supernaw indicated he remembers, we ended up getting inaugurated on the 4th of July one year. And at that point, it was a win. Yes, there's other people that were here. And at that point, we all ran in, got sworn in, and ran out because there were family activities. There was 4th of July activities going on. Our fix for that was to say, if it's on the 4th of July, then just have it on the 5th of July, which is still not giving us the opportunity to have a Saturday event. I looked last evening, I went back and looked at the 1972 centennial celebration that the tribe put on. And in fact, they had a day-long series of activities which began at 9 with the flag raising. They had time for visiting, they had a golf tournament, they had a barbecue for everyone, and they had an afternoon and evening dance. During this last inauguration planning, we had an indication that the principal chief would like to have a dance. And when we looked at it, it was on a Wednesday night, and that just wasn't gonna work. People have to go back to work when this is on a weekday. So this moves the inauguration to a Saturday with the expectation that we can plan more fully to celebrate, and I think everybody agrees, really a way that we've moved forward with our government and our sovereignty. That's it.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I support this amendment. I do believe that, you know, people that are inaugurated, their family wants to be there to support them, to see that event and be proud of their family member and their lot, you know, and a Saturday would afford people to be off work, to attend it, and not have to take off to work. So I support amending it to a Saturday.
Thank you, Congresswoman Buffalohead.
The idea of having a Saturday inauguration with a day filled of eating and a dance and all of that, it's not that I'm opposed to it, but I just want to keep, I just want to say we also have to spend the money on that. That's the people's money. We held the last, I guess, the big election with chief and assistant chief and 6 members of Congress at the biggest location that we have, which was the Ponca City Hotel. And it, on a Wednesday, we were pretty packed in there. So if it is the will of this Congress to appropriate more money to rent a 10, 15, 20, $25,000, $30,000 tent and appropriate money for a day-long inauguration, then I think that, that will work. But I just think that if you move the date, this body has to be willing to appropriate the money that it's going to cost to have such an elaborate date. And that's the only thing that I would say is questionable. I don't know if this body is going to do that, and if they are, that's fine. But right now, if we didn't appropriate that money, we would be at the casino, and there's limited room. It's big, but it's not big enough to hold another 80 to 100 people. And I remember when we had my first time I was inaugurated, we were in the chambers. 2 years later, you had your inauguration, Congresswoman Whitehorn, I believe, in the chambers too, and we had your reception in the museum. And I agree, it was inadequate. We didn't have enough room. So then we moved over to the casinos. Moving it from the Hill to somewhere else was, I remember, a big controversy. Some people wanted to have everything in Pawhuska, but we just simply did not have the space. So I'm not supportive of this right now. I think for June or July of next year, it needs to stay the way it is, and then should possibly be addressed later on. That's it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, I still support the amendment. We are building a nice new event center. I think it's going to really be a facility in our Tulsa casino that we can utilize and have more people in, and we wouldn't have to have the cost of renting tents. And I'm hoping that we will utilize that facility to its full. So I think looking forward that we need to think about a Saturday inauguration.
Congresswoman Edwards, then Buffalo Head, then Maker.
I also want to say that I contacted the head of the election board and asked if they had talked about this in any way and if moving it would be an impediment. She said no, it would not be an impediment, that it was simply left the way that Congress had drafted it in the past.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
I just want to say that since 2010, we have always left being sworn in from wherever we're at and gone into session immediately. Almost immediately. We've shaken hands, grabbed a bite to eat, and then we have come into session. And so if we change this date, and that's the will of this body, then obviously if we've got activities for the rest of the day, then I'm not sure what the rush has been since 2010 to come into session immediately and leave inauguration. Throwing that out there too. Thank you.
Okay, Congressman Maker.
Well, I do think that I agree with some of the things Congresswoman Edwards said about some of the past. I'm kind of a historian of our Osage people, and I was present to a lot of those celebrations, and I think this is one of the biggest ones that, you know, it's very important to our people. They do like to experience the inauguration. It's a big event, and to have just a few, you know, crackers and finger food, I think, is, you know, it's not a very good event. And the people like, I don't say people, they like to eat. We're not wasting money, we're actually feeding our people on that day. That one day, we're sure those people are going to have a nice meal and a nice event. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more discussion, Congressman Tillman?
Call for the vote.
Okay, so there's been a call for the vote. All those in favor, we are voting in order to cease discussion and vote. So all those in favor, call for the vote, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, we will now vote on the amendment. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead.
No.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes.
Okay, the amendment passes. And ONCA 17107 has advanced the third reading on today's agenda after Congressman. Okay, next is 17, Congresswoman Edwards.
Did you need a motion to that effect, or was that?
No.
All right.
ONCA 17118, an act to authorize and appropriate $1,500,000 to the Economic Development Fund and to establish an alternate effective date. There is three amendments. What is this? Okay, so excuse me, right now there are two amendments. First one, page one, lines 16 and 24, strike Economic Development Fund and insert Retained Revenue Fund. Discussion? Congressman Shaw?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to propose an amendment to the amendment, and I have stamped in copies here.
Okay.
Just take one pass. Yes, I have. He's got it. There's more. They just have major. Okay. Madam Speaker, I will articulate my amendment to the amendment on ONCA 17118. Strike the previous language and insert the following. Page 1, line 16, strike authorize and appropriate and insert transfer and deposit. Page 1, line 23, strike and appropriate the sum and insert the transfer and deposit.
There's Congressman Shaw.
It's a discussion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, this might seem somewhat curious here in terms of it using language that we don't routinely use, but the Economic Development Fund does allow for transfer and deposit of any other form of revenue. As you may remember yesterday, we had an executive memorandum from the chief that listed all of the appropriation bills to which he felt like he was bringing in under the executive branch. Health Benefit Fund, Capital Asset Improvement Fund, and at the very end was actually 17118, even though we're discussing it now and has not been passed yet. I think that was an error, but my concern in seeing that is that if money is appropriated into a fund, like the Economic Development Fund, is my contention that the chief plans to hold that also under the executive branch, as he did the other funds. Also remember that there was language in the Standing Bear versus Whitehorn about that there cannot be a requirement for two appropriations or a double appropriation. Once money's appropriated, it can be spent. I'm concerned perhaps the plan is if we appropriate, use the language, appropriate into the Economic Development Fund, whatever that amount would be, now, since we're resetting, a lot of the, certainly the chief is resetting a lot of the way he views the, our appropriation bills, he may be planning to take that under the executive branch and perhaps consider funding his own economic initiative since the money's already been appropriated. So I submit this alternate language that I have discussed with legislative counsel. He believes the act that created the Economic Development Fund allows this type of deposit or accumulation of funds into the Economic Development Fund. We actually have that term deposit in the Retained Revenue Fund in that following the annual audit, unobligated funds will be deposited into the Retained Revenue Fund. So we've actually got that term used in at least one other bill. So this amendment to the amendment takes up that proposal about substituting retained revenue for Economic Development Fund. That's out. And this language about changing appropriation to transfer and deposit is in. That's essentially the amendment to the amendment. I think it's needed. I don't know what to think about this double appropriation, the fact that it was on the list yesterday. I don't know what's planned for that. I think it should give us some insight perhaps into what's planned. And I think this leaves that money in a safer status, allows us to appropriate once to whichever source we wish to for those monies in the Economic Development Fund.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I support this amendment to this bill. I think that Congressman Shaw has given a lot of thought and has done it with the help of Legislative Council, and I do support and urge a yes vote for this amendment.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay. We'll now vote on the amendment as amended. Any more discussion to the amendment? All right, all those in favor, say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, the amendment passes. Amendment number 2. Page 1, throughout the bill, or throughout the entire bill, strike $1,500,000 and insert $2 million. Any discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
The committee process struck $500,000 out of the appropriation to the Economic Development Fund. This floor amendment seeks to restore that $500,000 back to the Economic Development Fund. This administration is looking toward economic development. We're having those conversations to augment and raise up the level of our LLCs in the realm of government contracting. I think it has some steam and momentum behind it. We have depleted the Economic Development Fund, and I believe that there needs to be a full $2 million restored to that. I'm excited about the prospects of our companies making relationships and getting contracts. And to step up in the area of being a successful economic development or revenue stream tribe in the outside business world, especially through 8A contracting. I know we can appropriate out of the general fund of the Treasury, but I'd like to have this money set aside for the purposes of economic development. I think it's just wise. So I support it. I urge a yes vote to this amendment.
Any more discussion? Congressman Shaw.
I mean, it was on the Commerce Committee the day we discussed this, and you know, it's again, like many things we do, it's a matter of degree. You know, is why 2 million? Well, 2 million is more than 1.5 million, and both amounts are greater than 1 million. You know, how much is plenty? Well, we probably could use 5 million into that fund as far as it goes, but we have to weigh that against the other demands of the nation. It appears to me that at the committee and at the congressional level, there's not a lot of interest right now about leaving money in the retained revenue fund. For it may change. It was different last year. I accept that with the will of Congress right now. So right now, our contingency fund for anything other than economic development will be the general fund. Okay. I voted yes for the $500,000 reduction because I felt that we needed a larger general fund balance to be able to address contingencies throughout the year, even if it's out of the general fund. I realize that there's always the fear that every one of us has articulated at one time is, if we don't set aside X amount of money now into X fund, it won't be there later, whether it be a construction project or a fund. I understand that. I've seen that. Seeing it now. Seeing it this week. So I understand that. But nonetheless, my argument is, to leave that $500,000 in the general fund for contingencies later because I'm very concerned the retained revenue fund will have a near zero balance at the end of this session.
Councilwoman Edwards?
My concern is that last year, the representation was we were going to have about $800,000 more returned into a fund than currently we have. And I don't like $800,000 mistakes. We haven't gotten to the bottom of what happened there, but while I'm not questioning our numbers, I know that there's things that can come up, and I don't want to leave it that low either. So to me, this is a good start. We can monitor as the year goes on, and if we can have the ability to put more into it in the spring, then we do that. But for now, I don't want to leave us with just one disaster away from not being able to take care of our business. So I would give no vote.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, I did some review of our appropriated revenue totals, and I wished I would have wrote the numbers down, so I probably shouldn't say, but I'm going to anyway. I believe that if this passes, if we amend it back and it passes, that leaves $700,000 in the general treasury. And then other legislation, if everything passes, I believe it leaves $12,000 in the retained revenue fund. So that's where we are.
Councilman Walker?
Yeah, that's close. We had this discussion this morning. Actually, assuming everything passes as is, it would leave, like she said, $12,000 in the retained revenue fund and $900,000 in the general fund.
Thank you. Correct.
I'll be voting no.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Superhill?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman
Bethlehem?
No.
Congresswoman
Edwards? No. Congressman Hamilton? No. Congressman Baker? Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
No.
Okay, the motion failed. And I would say 17-118 will advance to third reading after engrossment on today's agenda.
Is that it?
That is it.
Move to recess for the purposes of any investment.
Second.
Until session to.
To the call of the speaker.
Motion to the call of the chair, speaker chair. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. We are in recess as a closed chair.
Okay, what about lunch and stuff like that?
What's happening now?
So is this helpful at all? These printouts, John. These printouts, is that helpful at all?
I don't have any idea.